Well, if you open your Bibles, Lord willing, we're to begin Revelation chapter 13 this evening. But the Lord has kind of put on my heart to, we had such a sweet time, I believe, in chapter 12. I was encouraged once more to go back and review that woman there that we read about in chapter 12 and verse 1. There seems to be a little bit of confusion, maybe with the Schofield notes, maybe with different tracks, maybe with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And, you know, I'm convinced that we'll just search the Scriptures and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He'll bring those things to you and He'll bring them to us. And I'm confident that He wants a complete and perfect finished work. If we're willing, by His grace, it's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. All right, in that 12th chapter in the first verse, actually I'll just read the first and second verse. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, cried travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." Now, this woman, as opposed to what Brother Schofield has in his notes here, is not Israel. It's very clear, and we spoke about this last week, that she represents the entire family of God. And how fitting here that she represents that entire family, that there are five characteristics about this woman, and representing the five different companies or groups of saints. I so appreciate that five, again, all by grace. No matter what company you would ever fit in, it's going to be by the very grace of God. Thank you, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But again, you'll see that that first company here is seen as clothed with the sun. And a woman was clothed with the sun. Obviously, that was brought out last week, that this is the sun glory saints, the four living ones, the four beasts, also known as the bride of Christ. The word tells us there in Corinthians that one star differeth from another in glory. It says that there is a glory of the sun. There is a glory of the moon. Now, moving on to that second one, it says that the moon is under her feet. Now, again, the moon is not as bright as the sun glory. There's no light of their own as the bridal saints. The bridal saints do have a light of their own. You will find that in Revelation 21:11, where the heavenly Jerusalem is coming down, and she is seen, the bride is seen, and she has her own light. She has, again, the very image which we've been rejoicing of from glory to glory. This has been instilled in her life. What a privilege. I was studying again just how God just continues to take you, and like that onion that you keep peeling off, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter and deeper and deeper. But I was rejoicing there in Ezekiel, where it says that that cherubim, again, the four living ones, they were as bright like coals of fire. And I was thinking, isn't that a wonderful, I was thinking like a comet light or, you know, something so far beyond. But that's the light that God can give us. And that's the light that by His grace, I know it's His love that can be burning in our life. I'm so thankful that again, that we can be not just a reflection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we can be like Him. Isn't that wonderful? We can be like Him. Praise His name. I always say, who, me? But He loves us. And if we'll just understand how much He loves us, He can really make something special via His Holy Spirit. So again, this moon glory is a reflection of Christ. Most Christians are of this reflection, and most Christians are going to be in that innumerable multitude. That's why they call it the innumerable multitude, because there are so many. I think I shared with you one time, I believe the Lord in my life has given me one very, well, many sweet dreams, but one very divine dream, and I'll share that with you at this time, and I so appreciated the Lord. I dreamt that I was in a hallway. And I don't know who was leading me around, but I knew it was heaven. I knew there was something about it. And I was just so excited to be there. And I kept just wanting to go in one of them doors. I just wanted to go in. And I'd open up a door, and this very first one I opened in, there were just bajillions of people in there, you know. And whoever was with me just took that handle and shut that door and said, "Son, that's not for you." And I was kind of a little disappointed. And we walked down a little bit further, and there was another door, and I opened up that one. And that one had a little bit less people in there, but there's still a lot in there. And then kind of shut that door and said, "That one's not for you." Well, that kept going on and on and on until we got very last down to the end doorway. And I was pretty bummed at this time because I was thinking, is there not a place for me? And I opened up that very last door, and there was just a few in there. And it was as bright could be. And the last thing I heard says, this one's for you. And then I woke up. So I didn't get to see what was in there, but I see what's in there in here. Hallelujah. So I believe it's real, and not that we count on anything of that nature, but I do believe that God is so sweet to us that He speaks to us in everything if we'll just pay attention and be aware of how much, again, He loves us. So then, so we see this third company here, which is represented by the crown of 12 stars. It says those crown of 12 stars, if you'll... I don't want to turn there yet, but I'll just give you these two notes because we will turn there in a moment. Hebrews 12:23 speaks of these. These were just men made perfect in the Old Testament. Matthew 27:52 and 53, as we'll read here shortly, were the ones that at the time that Christ arose, those were the some of those graves were opened, and some of them entered into that holy city at that time. And those are the full overcomers that we see out of the Old Testament. We will read about these here in just a moment back up in the book of Hebrews, where we'll read about the Faith Hall of Fame there in the 11th chapter. And these are those Esthers and Ruths and Davids and Moses and Elijah and Elisha. Those are the ones that really... by the grace of God, took hold to the fullness that was offered to them at that time. They are absolutely, they are stars. It says one star differeth from another in glory. It's a wonderful thing. But again, it is not the sun glory. And I want us to start taking note of this. There is a calling that God has put upon this age that they were not aware of at that time. And we'll get a little bit more into that. Now next... we see that in verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So you think of this woman, and here she is. She has that clothing of the sun glory. She has the moon with her. Again, the innumerable multitude. She has the stars on her, the 12 stars above her head, which represent the overcomers in the Old Testament. And she's ready to give birth. There's another company that's ready to be born. Now, unfortunately, again... Brother Schofield will go on and before verse 5, if you do have a Schofield Bible, and I still love a Schofield Bible, don't get me wrong. There are wonderful notes in a Schofield Bible. There was wonderful truths that were seen by this brother. But I think God has shown us a more perfect way. Yeah, it was there for him. I want you to know that. But at least at the time of this writing, and I, again, we're not to judge. I'm sure that he will be rewarded greatly. But I do know that this child is not Christ. Okay, and we're going to talk about why this child is not Christ right now. We read last week again, and it says here that this child is a man-child. And as born as a man-child, it was immediately taken up into heaven as a child. Jesus Christ was not taken up into heaven as a child. Jesus Christ was fully ready. He had suffered exactly perfectly to the perfection that God had wanted him to. He had fulfilled everything. It was finished. There was no child quality at all left. He was fully mature, obviously, in every way that God needed him to be tempted and tried and suffered in every way. So, this child that we see here is obviously not Christ, but it's so evident that this is the 144,000. God is so faithful that He did promise to Israel that He would give them their land, He would give them their promise, and in this 144,000, God will instill that back to them. It'll be a wonderful thing. 12,000 out of each tribe, and we've been studying those. Okay. Now finally is the fifth part of this woman. And you'll say, well, I didn't see that, brother, in the first two verses. But we did read about this last week, and it's the remnant of the woman who flees into the wilderness. It's the remnant of her seed. If you go over here to 12:17, the 17th verse, and it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So this is the last part, in a sense, of the entire body, the entire family of this church. This remnant is seen fleeing. These are the ones that are saved after. These would be the ones that would be saved after the taken away or the rapture of the innumerable multitude. These are the ones that come to know the Lord after that time. The Lord's going to deal with people up until the very end. As much grace as He has, He's very patient. And these are the ones that did not receive the mark of the beast. You'll see these that were the ones that were slain. And you'll find them that they're the ones that are grieving underneath the altar in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Now again, I hope that wasn't too painful for many of you that may have known everything about it. But I would hope that we could rejoice again in something going over that is so precious and dear. And you know, any time I look at pictures of my family or I get together with my family, even though I've known them for, 41 years now, you know what? I still love to see them. I still like to talk about them. I still like to look about on them. And by the grace of God, I think it even gets more exciting naturally when you see people going on with the Lord, because you see them growing in ways that, you know, you just couldn't imagine. This is the family of God, okay? So let's understand, this is the family of God, and this is where we need to take heed and continue to focus upon, because this is going to be our reward. This is going to be our forever. So again, I think we can see the differences that are in these companies or these groups. There's different ranks, and as we've seen throughout the Word of God, that these different ranks are seen in heaven at different times. But now I want to go a little bit further, and I would like to specifically look for just a moment at the difference between the four living ones and the 24 elders. And I don't want you to take my opinion upon this. I do, brothers and sisters, want us to examine the Word of God. I do believe this is important. I'll kind of stop there and we'll, Lord willing, wrap this up here in a moment, and we'll praise Him that I believe He'll bring this importance out. But in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, is where we are introduced in this heavenly vision. John is in the heavens and he is seeing a vision, and this is the very first company of believers that he sees in heaven. And how appropriate again, and how perfect, because this would be right, because this would be the ones in the Old Testament that are the full overcomers. And it says there, and round about the throne, and notice again, it's round about it, very close to it, but not in it, but round about, were 24 seats, and upon these seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Such a precious sight. These are the wonderful 24 elders, the first group seen in heaven. And it tracks perfectly. Now I do want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. And in that you will see, again, Paul is speaking here, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay, now he's talking about spirits and just men made perfect. Now, I want you to keep that thought and turn with me now to Matthew chapter 27. That's Matthew chapter 27, and we'll read verses 52 and 53. Actually, I'd like to read verse 51 because it's such an exciting moment. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Oh, hallelujah. And then 52, here we go. And the graves were opened. Again, this is when Christ, you know, he's ready to take control here. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And again, brothers and sisters, these are the overcomers in the Old Testament. And you'll notice there in that verse 52 that the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It wasn't all of them. It was many. It was some. It was a part. And again, just as in today's age, not everyone is going to be in that bride of Christ. Everybody talks about that knows a little bit about this bridal thing. They'll say, oh yeah, we're all in the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And again, as the Lord brought that to me, it's just a convenient thought. It's a convenient thought because people don't want to acknowledge that they truly have left their first love. It's true. It's a fact. It's an absolute truth. And we need to recognize, as our calling is, I will go. That's the first love. That is something that, by the grace of God, we are going after. I am fully going after you, Lord. Fully. There's many that will sometimes take this in a self-righteous way, and I don't believe it is at all. God is calling us to be a full overcomer. Brother Paul said, don't let sin reign upon your life. Okay? Just don't let it reign you. Okay? Didn't say don't let it exist. Because we know that there is going to be sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But there is a reigning of sin that Paul did not want to see the children of God have taking place upon their life. See, because when something is reigning upon your life that isn't Christ, you're not going to rule and reign with Him. It's just a fact. If there's something that's continuing to defeat you in your life, I do believe that that is something that needs to be taken to the Lord. Because the Lord's, He's well able. Let me tell you something. He is so well able, so well equipped, that He can deliver. And He can. Don't settle for something that wouldn't be God's fullness. And I just the absolute fully going after Him. I really believe that we have that calling. And it's important. It is important. We need to pray that God, you know, break through these things. Let us come fully and boldly to the throne of grace. Because we are a needy people. And just because we have it today, it was kind of funny. I was mentioning something to somebody today. I said, you know, longevity in the Lord is a wonderful thing, but that don't get it. It's today. It's today. It is. Yep, there's a lot of responsibility in today. He said, forget those things which are behind. Brother Hill used to bring that out so sweetly. And I remember, I thought, oh, that's just the bad things. Let's put them back in there. No, it's even the accolades. It's the triumphs. It's the wonderful things. Now, it's wonderful that God can encourage us in both of those. Because we still need to look at our life as the tents of Kedar. We have to understand what God did with us. Where we were, what He took us from. How no man comes after Him. That we're all wicked, that nobody sought, that we had all sinned and came short of the glory of God. But God, in His great love, oh hallelujah, He sent that Son. And now by His grace, I have the potential of being as the curtains of Solomon. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I think that's wonderful. I mean, I'm clean. Don't get me wrong. I know as a believer, and if you're a child of the King, He has made you white as snow. You are righteous. You are holy. But I mean talking about growing up into Him and having that fullness and the beauty to be looked upon. What He wants us to be looked at. Someday He's going to walk her around and He's going to make everybody take notice of her. In a lot of wonderful ways. I think I've beaten that point, but you know what? By the grace of God, you're going to hear it again. All right. So, some people like to get after me for that. So we see, I think, this very clearly. Now let's go on to Romans chapter 16. I want to read a few things that Brother Paul, again, this is Brother Paul speaking. Brother Paul, who obviously had a wondrous calling that was on that road to Damascus and professed that Christ is Lord and became filled with the Holy Spirit. But God wasn't finished with him, was he? He gave him this wonderful dispensation and this growth and this wonderful fellowship that God wanted him to have to grow up, to be ready to finish his course, right? Praise God. He wasn't finished on the road to Damascus. He wasn't finished shortly thereafter, 3 years or whatever it was. He wasn't finished until the Lord encouraged him and he said, I have finished my course. Isn't that precious? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Oh, I think we've been studying about that wonderful gospel of the glory. Praise his name. See, this is Paul. Establish you according to my gospel. Again, we're not worshiping Paul here, but Paul was given something important. The pinnacle, the epitome, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Didn't stop there, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, he starts to bring in the mystery that is now being revealed. Okay? It wasn't revealed back then. The prophets wrote about it,
but they didn't know what they were writing about. Brother Daniel wanted to see that in a bad way. He wanted to understand, but God closed it up. And he said, "Brother, I know you're going to be more than satisfied, but this isn't for you. It's not for you." Okay. All right. What's he trying to make of this? Well, I'm just going to make of what the Lord's making of it. Ephesians 3. Let's go over there. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. 4 through 6, I should say. Well, let's back up to the third verse. "How that by revelation," again, this is Brother Paul, "he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." Now, again, a lot of people read this and said, well, other ages, he's talking about eons past. No, he's not. He's talking about in other ages known unto the sons of men. The sons of men are ones that know the Lord. Understand, this is what he's talking about. It wasn't known to those in the Old Testament, is what he's saying here. They didn't have this revelation. "And it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." Sunc Laurentimus, what a wonderful word. That means joint heirs as man and wife. What a precious thing. Praise God. Okay, so you see again, now it's made manifest. Okay, line upon line, brothers and sisters. Let's go on to the next. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Oh, let's back up to 25. See, if I keep backing up, we'll start from verse 1 of chapter 1. But it's just so good. Thank you, Lord. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation," the revelation, the mystery, whatever you want to, in a sense, understand here, what Paul's talking about, "according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Isn't that precious? That this mystery, this bridal calling, it fulfills the very word of God. I'm just telling you, when you're talking about exceeding riches of His grace, and just the exceeding riches and the inheritance among them that are sanctified, oh my, what we've stepped into. "Even the mystery which has been hid," it's been hid from ages and from generations, "but now is made manifest to His saints." And that's a big thing there too. These are saints. These are people that are already obviously saved. They're His saints. There's a mystery that's being revealed to them that's going to take them beyond, by the grace of God, of what they've even yet received. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery." Not just the mystery, but the riches of the glory of the mystery. "Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh my. It just, doesn't it, just exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it gets better and it grows. And every time you get into this, I'm telling you, I'm thrilling right now. It's a time like I never have. So it is very apparent that this wasn't known or revealed until Paul. Daniel, Ezekiel, John, even in Revelation, they all wrote about this vision of heaven. They all had seen some parts of this that God had shown them. Paul was taken there as well. We're not going to turn there, but if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll go in there, Paul was caught up. But the Lord stopped Paul and said, "I'm not going to write about these things. You can't utter them. It's too glorious. Just can't utter them." And I kind of got to thinking, well, but you know what? He did reveal it all by His grace. He really did. The epistles. And the epistles not only revealed His vision, it revealed the vision of Ezekiel and Daniel, and obviously as well John. We're talking about this revelation. That's the beauty. You will never fully grasp Revelation until you understand Paul's epistles. That's why so many Christians, they just try to go to Revelation and start pulling it apart. They get excited and scared and stop. You got to get into Paul, because that's the code, man. He's the code breaker. He's got it. And it reveals it, and praise His name. That's who this dispensation was given to. But now we're going to get back to the 24 elders, that first group in heaven.
They got there when Christ arose from the grave and led captivity captive, and some saints, as we saw, went into the holy city. Now I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now, in chapter 11, and we will go back and read some stuff in chapter 11. I want you to understand this. Chapter 11 are the worthies of faith. It's by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith Joseph, by faith Rahab, by faith all of them. It's just so wonderful. But these are the worthies of faith, and they're called the elders. And as we go into chapter 12, I just want you to understand that. It says, so after all of this, it says, wherefore seeing we also... This is Paul, including himself, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race, run with patience the race that is set before us. Now I'm going to finish reading 2 and all in just a moment as well. But I want you to focus on seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Now, these are the worthies of faith. This is the cloud of witness. All right? Now, stay with me here. All right. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. All right. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now, this is Christ speaking here right before he is caught up, after he's come back from the grave and is risen, and he's been... with them and showed himself to them, and he's ready to go be taken up into heaven. And he says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Okay. Now this is starting to make sense now, isn't it? When we talk about all these clouds, I've had people talk, you know, what are all these clouds he's talking about? The clouds, by the grace of God, you're starting to see there. They're in heaven. That's that Old Testament overcomers, those worthies of faith, they're the ones that they're with God that received him up into glory. Isn't that precious? They're there. See how it just fits perfectly? We don't have to try to jam it in here. It just works. It just works. Praying, faith, just works. Isn't it wonderful? Praise his name. All right. So we see that. Then let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very familiar text. That's 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, and we'll start reading from the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that are Christians and that have went to be with the Lord, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, praise God, and again that word alive, I will make note again, is the same root, zoo or zoon, which you will find in the four living ones. It's the same word in the Greek. It's so wonderful. Alive. You know what another word has the same root as well? Quickened. Now just go wrap your heart around that one. You see how perfect it is. Quickened. And remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now praise his name. Smyrna saints, ring a bell. Put them right there. Okay? Hallelujah. Alive and remain shall be caught. Then we which are alive, now we got the church of Philadelphia, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Isn't that precious again? There's that cloud. There's those overcomers, those of the Old Testament. They're there. They have been there. They were the group to arrive with the Lord as he again brought them. And some of those graves were opened at that time. And they came into the holy city. That's the cloud. I again hope that we're rejoicing, those that may have seen this before. And hopefully God is opening eyes and hearts and lives in different ways. But again, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Oh, don't forget this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, God had to obviously know that we're going to be going through some things right now. Everybody's going through something. Yep. If you're running the race, let me tell you something. You're being tried. That is an absolute guarantee. And what does he say there? Comfort one another with these words. This is your inheritance, brothers and sisters. This is the real thing. We are reading of the title deed tonight. By his grace, we read of the title deed every time we come together. Every time you get in to the word in your home, you're reading of your title deed. Praise his name. All right. Let's keep on going here. So we see that these 24 elders were there first, then the bride comes. And at the time the bride is taken, that is when the tribulation that we've been reading about, the 7 years, that's when that starts. Okay? So let's keep on going with the 24 elders specifically mentioned in Revelation here. And something that was interesting of note, I counted up how many times specifically the 24 elders were mentioned in the book of Revelation. And it shouldn't surprise you, it's 12. And if you know what 12 is, that's the number of Israel. And again, pointing back to that this is this wondrous company. 24, 12 Israel plus the priestly order, the order of government for Israel as well too. So such a sweet thing there. All right, now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're closing in on this, so I hope this is encouraging you. Verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now again, 24 elders, here's your elders. Now who are the elders they're talking about? I'm not going to go ahead and read all of chapter 11 for you. I encourage you to go there tonight and you can read of all these wonderful elders. But it's obviously you read about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all of those wonderful worthies of faith. Are there exactly 24 of them? No, that's just a representative number to understand that they're coming out of Israel, okay? How many of them are there exactly? I don't know. But I'm sure that God in His infinite grace, there was as many hearts that would receive Him. Every single one of those hearts was fully ready, praise His name, to receive this wonderful overcomer in the Old Testament. All right, so we see there in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, that these are the elders that obtained the good report. Now jump through all of Hebrew chapter 11 and go to the 39th verse, which is at the very end here. We got the 39th and 40th verse, and let's read about these elders again. Because he begins it this way, and he's going to end it this way. And again, this is Brother Paul speaking here. And he said, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Now wait a second. What did Noah not receive? What did Abraham not receive? Moses, the greatest of all the prophets. Well, let's read on. "God having provided some better thing for us." Now this is Paul, and he's including himself. All right? Now, if Paul's not in the bride of Christ, I don't know if any of us stand a chance. So these worthies of faith, brothers and sisters, they're not part of what Paul has. They're just not. Read your word. They're just not. These are the elders. These are the 24 elders. Okay? "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." What a statement. That's why I say comfort one another with these words. That you have an opportunity. Oh man. What he's just been dealing with our hearts on. And this, like I say, the glory study has just strengthened something I know that was not there before in my life. And I just so thankful again that God can bring us to that realization and understanding, like I say, and that grace and knowledge, that truth and love for His Son. Praise His name. But okay, we'll continue on here. I have a couple notes. It says, "Nothing's greater than the bride," in a sense of the callings.
Brother Paul had that. The 24 elders were not called into that, as we just read. They did not know about it. The infilling for all truth was not for them. It was hidden. I know some brothers kind of got on me one time when I said, well, they weren't filled until Pentecost. Okay, I understand in the Word of God. We'll go back and I understand about Isaiah and how it said that he was filled with the Spirit. I understand also that it even said that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit in the womb. Sure. Okay. Was John the Baptist, was he saved in the womb? Did he accept Christ in the womb? Do you think that he actually had to be born and come to a knowledge and accept Christ? There was a time of accountability in his life? Sure there was. Sure there was. Understand with the Word of God. God can do anything. If he needs a message to be brought out, sure he's going to use his Spirit. Sure he's going to have an anointing of a prophet on somebody. But there was a special anointing on that day of Pentecost, brothers and sisters. He gave the Holy Spirit in a way to lead us into all truth. Into all truth. Now, I understand as well too. And this is a hard thing for me, because there's people that I love dearly that will fight against some of these things. And it does. It cuts. But, you know, there is a more perfect way. And we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to stand in love in defense of the gospel. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. So, you know, if you were called to serve your country, I think if you're honorable, you'd go. Well, this is so far beyond serving country. No offense to our wonderful soldiers, but this is forever. We're called to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonder. But we need to understand that infilling that was given. Now, again, I know how some will kind of say, well, wait a second. Those disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, sure they were. But they weren't called into the calling of the bride of Christ either. You see how the Spirit, he's going to get done what God gets done. Just like Jesus said, it's not for me to give it out. It's for my Father. He's going to put it up. And he's going to set it up. Because that's my Father. And thy will be done. Okay? So we can try to get picky in things and just try to get mean and self-righteous and all of these different things. It's truth and love. Huh? I can have all the knowledge. I can have all the faith. I can have all those things. If I don't have the love of God, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. Okay? So let's again, by His grace, be drawn into the love that He wants us to have. All right. Some other points about the bride, and I think, Lord willing, we're not going to get into chapter 13 tonight, but I think it's exactly where the Lord wanted us, so we'll just leave that there. But I know there was a lot of excitement about the Antichrist. Since you're not going to see him, praise his name. By his grace, I hope you don't. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to get overconfident. But that's what we're hopeful to miss. Everybody's excited about knowing who it might be, and I'll tell you what, I certainly don't want to know. He'll let me know on the other side, and if he wants to. So we'll have a wonderful revelation at that time. All right. But notice here that the bride is in the midst of the throne. These are differences of the 24 elders. It's only the bride that's in that very midst. That midst, again, going back and studying that, it talks about being seated with him and seated in that very midst. You'll see that in Revelation 4:6 and Revelation 5:6. The bride is detailed and described as the very image of Christ. We see that the one beast was as a lion, the next one was as a calf, the next one was as a man, the next one was as an eagle. And you'll see that in Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Again, why then, if these are the same company, the 24 elders and the four living ones, why does God in His Word go to such detail to explain to you the beauty and the features and the characteristics of the four living ones? Doesn't do that with the 24 elders. 24 elders, it's a wonderful thing. But the very first thing of that woman you saw was she was clothed with the glory of the sun. The light of that city, praise God, and that city when she comes down, and that's going to be all the saints. You can see them there. We'll read about them as well too. But the focal point of that city I'm going to tell you, is that bride coming down? It is. It's the bride coming down. Praise His name. Now again, Jesus Christ is the focal point of everything, but He magnifies His love and His glory upon that lady. It's going to take us a long time to really get our hearts around that, you know, but just trust Him. Know how He loves you. Hallelujah. He's calling us into something so special. But the four beasts lead the worship. The four living ones, they lead the worship. They conduct judgment and reigning. That's Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 7, and chapter 15, verse 7. And we've read much about that, how they're the ones instructing those angels, those glorified saints. They're sending them out to do the things that God has prepared. You know, again, what about co-heir, don't we want to believe? What about jointly reigning, don't we want to accept? I want to accept it, not because I think I'm able, but I know I'm going to be enabled. You see? I'm going to have a body like unto His own glorious body. That's every bit. Praise His name. And He will, by His grace, enable that body, if I attain, I hope to attain, to do anything and everything He needs to have done. I'm just studying about His love. He'll enable all the rest. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Okay? See how wonderful God is and how easy He really is, truly. Now, one thing that people will bring out, and I'll just touch on these couple more points before we depart. But wouldn't that be nice, departing? But if you turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And this is kind of what I'll hear many times. And it's a wonderful verse. Don't get me wrong. It's sweet. But this is, well, let's back up to the 8th verse and you'll see how we get to the 10th verse. And we had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So you see again that these four living ones and these 24 elders are redeemed people. Praise God. They're people just like you and me that have accepted Christ, and there's been a wonderful overcoming work in their life. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now again, some that will take both the companies and put them together, this is one of the verses that will be brought out, and they'll say, okay, well, see, there it is. There's kings and priests ruling and reigning and ministering and all of that. If you really want to read what this is saying, the kings and priests, the true definition of this is the kingdom of priests. It's not speaking of kings at this time. It's speaking of priestly reigning. And in the Word of God, any time these groups get together, they're talking about a priestly reigning with Christ. And in one way, shape, or form, we are priests to God. So keep that thought. Turn with me back to Revelation chapter 1. And it is in verse 6. This is John speaking. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Well, we understand that John is going to sit on one of the 12 thrones, ruling over Israel. So he's here, kings and priests. Again, that's a kingdom of priests, is how that's really translated. Okay, stay with me. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. This is a precious verse. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. This is all God's people. By His grace, this is all of His people. They're blessed and holy because they have part in that first resurrection. Okay? On such, the second death hath no power. Okay? Go into the second death and it's too late. That's when you're going to face the judgment seat. And that's when you're going to be judged by your works. And that's when you're going to be cast out and you're going to be put in the lake of fire. Okay, so blessed and holy is he that is takes part in the first resurrection. And it says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Okay,
So this again is talking about this priestly. When God is speaking to companies here, He always brings up the priestly. There's going to be some part of priestly. There's priest speaks of basically the service, the call or the answer to the service to God. And there was a call to each one of His children, and they did take it in some way, shape, or form in just accepting Christ as Savior. Now, they may have wasted a lot of their life and not lived much to God, but there was still a service in a sense that they accepted His Son as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is some form of priestly, there's form of ministering, there's some form of, because the life is in them. And one of the things that God brought to me was the thought is that we're all family. We're all family. It's the family of God. But there's only one husband and one wife. There is. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that He's talking to bring out there. But in closing, I don't believe that there's any comparison of how they are mentioned, meaning the four living one. There's no comparison to them. How they're described, how they're preferred. And I guess the question is it important to see this? Yep. It is. I don't think God would have emphasized it so much. I don't believe that He would have brought this out in His scriptures that the Holy Spirit can draw us into understanding that there is a difference here. Now, I don't want to get people all bent out of shape as well either and say, well, if somebody is not seeing this, does this mean that they're not going to be in the bride of Christ? No, I don't believe that either. I believe the Word of God tells us that we're to be watching anxiously for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's wonderful to understand and to dwell in truth, though. I do. And I believe that there's a wonder in this that we can understand that God so desires us, that I am my beloved's and that His desire is towards me. This is showing me that we truly have been set apart. Boy, talk about sanctified, huh? An inheritance to be set apart for. What a wonder. This is some wondrous stuff. And I pray again that this has encouraged you. And I guess since maybe I've rocked the boat a little bit, I'm going to close with one more point. And you all can hopefully meditate upon this one. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne. So the four living ones, those four beasts, they give glory, honor, and thanks. They started the worship again. And they said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, sometimes, I guess, as a man and wife, if you ever really love your spouse, I think in a way we give them glory, honor, and thanks, don't we? Huh? I hope so. I think those that maybe have almost 50 years in their belt might stand up here and say, yep, that's one of the things that worked. Glory, honor, and thanks. Love. Love. Yep. Major stuff. Praise God. So after they had done that, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. This is that group, and here's what they do. They fall down and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. So again, they're following the praise and the honor that the four living ones started. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You'll notice here is that there's a casting off of crowns. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful gesture because it's just showing that these 24 elders understand that there's no way they were ever worthy. There was no way that there was any type of moment that they achieved anything in their life, naturally speaking, that no matter what was done in their life, it was all because of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There wasn't anything that they could merit. It was all by grace. And Lord, I just love You so, I'm just casting it at Your feet. What a wonderful thing. And I understand that. But that's the 24 elders. I don't believe the bride does that. I just don't. I believe that she's got a crown that she holds fast, that no man takes it. And I've also thought many a day and many a night on how, Lord, that's a crown of engagement and wedding. And I'm understanding how much You love me and what You want me to come into. And how You want me to have half of Your half and half of my half You just want me to have everything. And I believe when I do see Him, that I will have a body, and I will have a head, and I will have a mind, and I will have all of those things that will be like unto His own. He will. That I will be able to understand fully how He loves me. Can you see that in your heart? Oh, I hope we can see that. I think we'll just pray. Dear God, we thank You again for Your wondrous love. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we do know that this cuts. And it's not about a knowledge in our mind, but it's about a knowledge of Your love toward us. Lord, help us to just grow in it. Help us to, as You encourage me, to swim in it and get into the very depth. And Lord, to just not get out, not draw back. But Lord, to be fully persuaded that You're able, yes, to keep it and perfect it and to build it and to grow it and to make it real in our life. Thank You for this time with You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.